Hello, everyone. Welcome to our weekly Course in Miracles study group. I am so happy you all are here, and I'm super happy to be here. Let's begin by dropping into silence. Creating that quiet, still place within, making some room to allow the light in. Because we tend to fill it up so much with our thoughts, our cares, our concerns. Handing those things over to make space so the Holy Spirit can enter. If we find the mind being pulled back to concerns, worries, to even just chatter on the surface of the mind, just breathing in and noticing that we've gone there again, and then just without judgment, shifting back to this connection within. This holy instant, we give to the Holy Spirit. Taking a nice, mindful breath in and out. We're placing the Holy Spirit in charge by our request and trusting that we will hear what we need to hear, share what we need to share. And receive the thoughts that the Holy Spirit gives us. And coming together to our perception of this time and place. Okay, so in the Sparkle Edition, we're on page 121. It's the first full paragraph at the top of the page. It begins, "My brothers and yours are constantly engaged in justifying the unjustifiable." In the original edition, it is chapter 6, part 2, paragraph 15. If you have the hard copy of the book, it's on page 103 in the original edition. And in the Foundation for Inner Peace edition, we are on page 94. It would be paragraph 11, sentence 4. So it actually begins in the middle of the paragraph. Again, the sentence is, "My brothers and yours are constantly engaged in justifying the unjustifiable." So we'll start there. We've been reading about the message of the crucifixion, which is seen through the eyes of the Course. The only lesson is one of love. It's not what we are used to hearing the interpretation of the crucifixion to be. So we're picking up in the middle of this section. "My brothers and yours are constantly engaged in justifying the unjustifiable. My one lesson, which I must teach as I learned, is that no perception which is out of accord with the judgment of the Holy Spirit can be justified. I undertook to show this was true in a very extreme case, merely because it would serve as a good teaching aid to those whose temptations to give into anger and assault would not be so extreme. I will, with God, that none of his sons should suffer." So I'll pause there and see if anybody had any thoughts arise or anything come up with this paragraph.
Actually, my daughter and I were engaged in justifying the unjustifiable this morning, and it felt very unpleasant. And Corinne, I think you mentioned this. I went to A Course in Miracles intensive this weekend, and this gal was there, and she was talking about Nuke Sanchez.
Uh-huh.
And the I know you've mentioned this before. This
uh-huh.
this line that Nuke says when she is engaged in justifying the unjustifiable. Holy Spirit, help me to forgive myself for using
mm-hmm.
blank.
Blank.
You can put anything in that blank
mm-hmm.
to attack myself and separate from God.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
when I was in the middle of that. In the middle of justifying the unjustifiable this morning, that's what I did. I went to that, and I thought, okay, let Holy Spirit help me to forgive myself for using this to attack myself and separate from God. And it didn't feel great right away,
mm-hmm.
but I just kept going back to that rather than, you know, engaging any longer with her in this nonsense. And boy, I'll tell you, I wound up having the best day.
Aww,
and
awesome.
We actually went out to dinner tonight and had a good time. And I thought, you know, this could go any way.
uh-huh.
This could get nasty, and it absolutely didn't. And I just wow. kept going to that. And didn't you bring this up one time? This
oh yes,
this
several
phrase.
Times. Mhm. Yep.
Pretty powerful.
Love it. It's very powerful because it brings it back to us again, and the fact that we're the ones that use, you know, people, situations, other, you know, things around us to really to keep the separation going, to keep our awareness of truth separate from us. And this ties into what I was thinking of when we were reading this, because before we started recording, we were talking a little bit about you know, how we can get so easily hooked by if a family member is going through something that's challenging. And the sentence where it says, no perception which is out of accord with the judgment of the Holy Spirit can be justified. And if you think about it, if we take a person, you know, maybe in our family that we're close to, a loved one who is going through a really hard time, is the Holy Spirit seeing them as suffering? Like, the Holy Spirit is focused on the truth, the absolute positive truth in that other person. That's what the Holy Spirit is always looking just to the truth and dismisses whatever is false. And that's how the atonement happens. That's how, you know, true forgiveness happens, because the Holy Spirit is just focused on the truth. And so if we think about the sentence then, that no perception which is out of accord with the judgment of the Holy Spirit can be justified. Even our perceptions of worry and, you know, maybe even extreme worry, those can't be justified because those aren't in line with what the Holy Spirit sees. And so if we can take that worry and take that concern and just have that, again, that tiniest bit of willingness to see it differently, it might mean that we don't feel different at all. We still feel really anxious or angry or upset. If we can just find that tiny bit of willingness to let the Holy Spirit in, to hand this over to the Holy Spirit, then we're going to eventually, when we're ready, be taught perceptions that are in line, in the same judgment of the Holy Spirit that is seeing only the truth. And this brings up for me also, I remember this is going several months back, I've mentioned before how my mom gets really terrible, terrible migraines, and I believe it was a migraine that she had, and I had this sort of sudden recognition that worrying about her or being really concerned about her, I'm siding with the dream. I'm siding with the difficulties. I'm siding with the challenges, that I'm not helping her by worrying about her. And it's so backwards here. Like, that's compassion. That's empathy. How, you know, and I'm not talking about, again, self-correcting and doing this on our own. It's about taking that compassion, that empathy, that concern, that worry, giving it over to the Holy Spirit and asking for that true empathy, asking for the Holy Spirit to use this empathy, to use this care on behalf of our awakening and the other person's awakening as well. So that is what came up for me as we read this paragraph, and also with, you know, what we were talking about before we started recording.
That's just brilliant. Oh, my God. you know, funny thing, after repeating this little sentence all day, you know, and I had a really kind of struggle with it because I was feeling like I was right and she was wrong. Mm-hmm. And by the end of the day, I had such a, talk about a shift in perception. I really saw how I was really responsible for what had happened. Mm-hmm. And she was absolutely guilty of nothing, and neither was I. I just made the mistake of choosing wrongly once again.
We're good at doing that, aren't we?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. But we're unlearning that. We are absolutely, absolutely unlearning that. And that's where, you know, the Course says over and over and over again, there's no sin. There's only, it's just a mistake, and it can be so easily undone. The Holy Spirit will undo all those consequences of our mistakes if we let him, or it, or her. Awesome. That was a great example, Paula. Thank you.
Great example on your part.
Oh, thanks. Let's read the next paragraph. Remember that the Holy Spirit is the communication link between God the Father and his separated sons. If you will listen to his voice, you will know that you cannot either hurt or be hurt, and that many need your blessing to help them hear this for themselves. When you perceive only this need in them and do not respond to any other, you will have learned of me and will be as eager to share your learning as I am. The crucifixion cannot be shared because it is the symbol of projection, but the resurrection is the symbol of sharing because the reawakening of every son of God is necessary to enable the sonship to know its wholeness. Only this is knowledge. And I'll pause there because I think that begins the next paragraph. So that's awesome. If we will listen to the Holy Spirit, we will be learning that we cannot hurt or be hurt, and that many need your blessing to help them hear this for themselves. And even the next sentence, when you perceive only this need and do not respond to any other. So again, there's all those other temptations to misperceive, you know, to see that person as limited, as in need, as sick, as, you know, whatever it may be. If we don't respond to that and perceive only as the Holy Spirit does, we'll have learned of Jesus, that this teaching, that it's sharing. But again, that's not to say that this is not, you know, figuring it out and doing it on our own. This is as we are guided, as we hand over our perceptions and have those shifts, have those miracles come to take their place. This is what we learn. So it's not something that we do on our own. Does anybody else have anything about this paragraph that stood out to them? I'll add that I think on one hand, okay, so the sentence towards the end, the reawakening of every son of God is necessary to enable the sonship to know its wholeness. Instantly, I was like, oh, that's so beautiful. You know, we all have to awake together. And then, you know, the ego comes in. Oh, that's far, far away. If you think about, you know, I mean, turn on the news for a second, and it seems like we have a long way to go. And yet the Course is teaching that Jesus did this already. He remembered truth wholly and has undone all of this, all of our mistakes already. And so it's already done. The sonship already knows itself. We just are preoccupied with this tiny mad idea. And so it's sort of that paradox again, that it feels like it's a long way off, and yet it's already accomplished, kind of beyond what we can wrap our heads around. I will read the next paragraph. The message of the crucifixion is perfectly clear. Teach only love, for that is what you are. If you interpret the crucifixion in any other way, you are using it as a weapon for assault rather than as the call for peace for which it was intended. The apostles often misunderstood it, and always for the same reason that makes anyone misunderstand anything. Their own imperfect love made them vulnerable to projection, and out of their own fear, they spoke of the wrath of God as his retaliatory weapon. Nor could they speak of the crucifixion entirely without anger, because their own sense of guilt had made them angry. These are two glaring examples of upside-down thinking in the New Testament, whose whole gospel is only the message of love. These are not like the several slips into impatience which I made. I had learned the atonement prayer, which I also came to teach, too well. I'm just going to read that again. I had learned the atonement prayer, which I also came to teach, too well to engage in upside-down thinking myself. If the apostles had not felt guilty, they never could have quoted me as saying, "I come not to bring peace, but a sword." This is clearly the exact opposite of everything I taught. I'm just going to read the next paragraph, too. Nor could they have...
What's this? Wait a minute.
What's that?
What is this line? There are not... There are two glaring examples of upside-down thinking in the New Testament whose whole gospel is only the message of love. These are not like the several slips into impatience which I made. What is he referring to there?
So didn't – now, again, I'm not completely familiar with the Bible, but from what I remember, aren't there parts in the Bible where, like, Jesus flips a table or something like that? I feel like there's some references in the Bible to Jesus getting angry.
In the temple with the money changers?
Think that, I mean, that's the only thing that comes to mind for me. I don't know if there's other ones. Does anybody else know?
And I think there was one time, again, I'm not a biblical scholar myself, where I think he's at a wedding with Mary and she asked him to do something. She asked him to do something and he was like, "What do you want me to do?" And that was kind of like, it was about, they were having some issue at the wedding, and she wanted him to, like, take some action. He was like, "Why are you asking about that? Why are you asking me to do that?" And he was kind of impatient with her.
That was before he changed water into wine. He was annoyed with her for asking.
That sounds right.
Okay.
That sounds right. So, it's funny.
That was like, what?
No, I'm glad that you're bringing that up, because that actually... I'm wondering if that is in the Foundation for Inner Peace edition. Carol, I know you're following the FIP edition. Did you see that line about several slips into impatience by any chance?
Several. Well, it talks about these are some of the examples of upside-down thinking in the New Testament, although its gospel is really only the message of love. And then it doesn't, you know, and then
it doesn't go any further. Yeah, I don't think it actually – I think some of this is not in the FIP edition. It was edited out, because I'm glancing at it too, and I don't see that particular line. Because when I read this, it struck me that I hadn't read it before, number one. And how cool to just, you know, hear Jesus say that he had several slips into impatience, but this wasn't him engaging in any kind of upside-down thinking. It was just a slip into impatience. So that was just a little, I don't know, it just made me stop and I noticed that. And
I'd say that's pretty good all in all.
Right?
Yeah.
God. I agree.
I think what I take from the course and reading it, that my mind is a little clearer to read it. It's just that, you know, how Jesus always talks about the parallels, that the journey that we are currently making is the same journey he made, and he compares us as equals, saying, you know, he had the same struggles, except that he was very diligent in giving his mind over to the Holy Spirit. So that, you know, just I feel like when people really go into the course, it kind of one of the things that really challenges them, especially if they come from a more Christian background, is that Jesus always says to how they're equals, and that we had the same struggles. And I'm just like you. And those references, I find them comforting because, you know, I was where you were. I was where you are now, and, you know, things like that. I find that very comforting. He said, and you will be where I am. And so I find that very comforting.
I agree. I totally agree. I find it comforting, too. I also noticed a little difference in this line and the sparkle where it says, there are two glaring examples of upside-down thinking in the New Testament whose whole gospel is only the message of love. That also stood out to me because in the FIP edition, it says that these are some of the examples of upside-down thinking in the New Testament, although its gospel is really only the message of love. In the Sparkle edition, it just sounds stronger to me that the New Testament, the whole gospel, is only the message of love. So it's not leaving any room for anything other than love. And I just like that. I thought it sort of, to me, pushed out any of the, you know, misinterpretations out there. It kind of brought up for me again this, I'm still interested in reading Regina Dawn Akers' The Holy Spirit's Interpretation of the New Testament.
It's beautiful.
Awesome. Because I don't typically think of the New Testament, the whole gospel, as being a message of love because, you know, there's lots of mixed messages in there. So.
Oh, yeah, there's lots of mixed messages. And actually, after, you know, once I make it through the NTI, I definitely want to actually go back and read the actual New Testament, just like in a regular Bible, because I feel like, because reading it with the Holy Spirit is a different experience. And, I mean, obviously it can be done because that's what, you know, Mary Baker Eddy did, you know, that's what healed her mind and brought her to have her physical healing and her mind being healed through, you know, and her developing, you know, the Christian Science and stuff like that. But it is possible when you have, you know, when you're listening to the inner teacher. So, I mean, I never would have probably gone into the New Testament on my own, but after reading NTI, and it's so beautiful. And sometimes some of the passages I'll read will just, like, were in the same instant what I had just read in the Course. And it's, like, such a great support for what the Course is saying. It's, I really think it's beautiful.
Oh, that's awesome. That is awesome. Let's look at the next paragraph, too. Okay, so we're ending with, I come not to bring peace but a sword, was the quote, this is clearly the exact opposite of everything I taught. Nor could they, the apostles, nor could they have described my reactions to Judas as they did if they really understood me, if they had really understood me. They would have realized I could not have said, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss, unless I believed in betrayal. The whole message of the crucifixion was simply that I did not. The punishment, which I am said to have called forth upon Judas, was a similar reversal. Judas was my brother and a son of God, as much a part of the sonship as myself. Was it likely that I would condemn him when I was ready to demonstrate that condemnation is impossible? I'll pause there. I know we brought up a couple weeks ago, I think I mentioned the documentary about the Gospel of Judas that I had seen first on DVD, then on TV, about, again, this different idea that Jesus had, and it doesn't say this here, but that Jesus had actually asked Judas to play his part by turning him in because Jesus was going to demonstrate this extreme example that he could not be hurt even if his body was crucified.
I think I must have missed that phone call because I hadn't heard of that documentary, but I had heard that from that idea from another source a while back.
If you can check, it's called The Gospel of Judas, and it was, I don't remember what network it was on, but it was on TV, I think, around Easter.
Okay.
So maybe, I don't know if it's available online or on Netflix or something. It was really good because they actually, you know, share with you some of just the history behind how the Gospel of Judas was found, and then, you know, some of what it says, too, that's so different than what made it into the Bible.
Yeah.
It was pretty cool. I'll keep going. I am very grateful to the apostles for their teaching and fully aware of the extent of their devotion to me. Nevertheless, as you read their teachings, remember that I told them myself that there was much they would understand later because they were not wholly ready to follow me at the time. I emphasize this only because I do not want you to follow, I emphasize this only because I do not want you to allow any fear to enter into the thought system towards which I am guiding you. I do not call for martyrs, but for teachers. No one is punished for sins, and the sons of God are not sinners. Any concept of punishment involves the projection of blame and reinforces the idea that blame is justified. The behavior that results is a lesson in blame, just as all behavior teaches the beliefs which motivate it. The crucifixion was a complex of behaviors arising out of clearly opposed thought systems. As such, it was the perfect symbol of conflict between the ego and the Son of God. The conflict is just as real now, and its lessons, too, have equal reality when they are learned. I do not need gratitude any more than I needed protection, but you need to develop your weakened ability to be grateful, or you cannot appreciate God. He does not need your appreciation, but you do. And I'll pause there. So for me, where it says that the crucifixion was the symbol of conflict between the ego and the Son of God, the conflict is just as real now, and its lessons, too, have equal reality when they are learned. When it says that the conflict is just as real now, and again, there is no conflict between the Son of God and the ego because the ego is nothing. It's just a tiny, mad idea. There's no conflict or attack in God. It's the ego that is attacking God or the Son of God because it wants – If it allowed that into our awareness, we would just let the ego go. We wouldn't want it anymore. There'd be no need for it. So the conflict being just as real now means that's our choice daily, where we have, you know, one of two choices, and which voice are we going to follow? Every time we choose to listen to the ego, that is that attack on the Son of God or on truth, because the ego wants to keep that out of our awareness. I was listening to a recording from Nook Sanchez, and she made me laugh because she was talking about one of the stages of developing trust, which is in the Manual for Teachers, and the ego, like, let's say it's a physical issue that you're having. The ego will, you know, try massage therapy, holistic treatments, you know, pharmaceutical treatments. It'll go down the list of things that are acceptable, but do not accept the atonement. That's the one thing that the ego does, you know, not, it's the one place that the ego does not want to go, because when we go there, that's when we see the truth that the ego is absolutely nothing and we don't need it. So it's actively trying to keep that truth out of our awareness. Anybody have anything, any insights come up when we were reading this?
I love this last line. He does not need your appreciation, but you do. Because really, when we're not coming from that place of appreciation, that's usually when the guilt, those guilt feelings settle in, you know, or become more obvious, at least.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I think it's just natural to feel grateful. At least this has been my experience. Just that in my mind, I felt like there's been so many subtle shifts that have made me feel like a profound difference within, that when I'm saying my prayer in the morning and in the evening, you know, turning my mind over to the Holy Spirit, I can't help but be grateful because I know it's actually happening, and I know that the shifts are taking place, and I am being healed, and that my mind is being healed. So you can't help but be grateful. And I mean, that's just my experience of it.
Yeah. I resonate with that. Very much so.
Hi, everyone.
Hi, Deidre.
I really like that line about there is no sacrifice or something. I just came in, so I kind of just heard it, but.
I'm trying to find it. Is it the one that I know we read before that?
This is I do not call for martyrs, but for teachers.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking of. I don't know if that was the one that you heard or if it was something after that.
I'm sorry, what? Can you repeat that?
I do not call for martyrs, but for teachers.
Yes.
I like that too.
It's interesting because it kind of parallels something that has been happening in my life recently. I was part of a faith for most of my teen years, an organized faith, and I've just sort of come to this place in my life now where I'm not wanting to be part of an organized religion per se. I feel closer to creation, the creator, studying Course of Miracles and just doing the work that I'm doing within. And I've kind of been feeling like, you know, it's not our place to be teaching another brother or sister to how to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit because it's such a personal thing. And in the concept, in the way that it's talking about teaching here is so different from any other form of teaching that I've ever encountered because it's not about showing or pushing a belief system on someone. It's about gentle atonement, really. And that only comes when someone's heart is open to it. So it's, you're involved in the process, but it's not like you're saying this is how you do it.
Right.
If that makes sense.
It totally makes sense.
Yeah.
It really goes back to I need do nothing.
Yeah. And to me, like, A Course in Miracles is just so, so vastly different from any.
You said it.
It feels like the truth. So I mean, as much as I feel, it's not that I'm rejecting my old faith per se at all. It's just that my view of the world and my place in it has totally flipped on its head. So I kind of feel like I don't have a place to be going there anymore, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
And it's been kind of strange because I don't want people to feel that I'm rejecting them or
you're not.
Yeah, but when people are,
I think
not,
the ego would step in there and say, oh, you know, people are going to feel rejected if I don't. Yeah, that's all the ego. that's that voice. And it's so damn subtle.
Yeah.
It's subtle and it's just this little. Yeah.
And what that reminds me of too, though, because yeah, that's absolutely like the ego getting in there again. And the Course says, though, at the same time, that when you do not share a thought system, you are weakening it. And those that still partake in that old thought system perceive it as an attack on them. So suddenly you're not joining in their way anymore, and they perceive it as an attack because you're weakening their thought system. You're not abiding by that thought system anymore. So I think that can also be an ego hook too, because especially if our egos are constructed in the way that we don't want to upset anybody, you know, we're what's the word, like placaters or like, you know, people pleasers, that sort of thing. We can get, I think, at least I'm speaking for myself, we could get hooked into.
Yeah, that's really interesting because I didn't think of that as an ego hook, but it totally is.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. It's another form of guilt, right? I don't want to upset anybody.
Yeah, right.
I don't want to feel bad. Or I feel bad that, you know, I could upset someone. Yep, it's totally, totally ego again. It's insidious. It gets in there. It's like water, you know, can get in anywhere.
And for me, like, I just feel like my...
Deidre, we lost you.
I think religion... can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I feel like my eyes have been open in a way to how religion has been used in certain circumstances to keep people sleeping.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I'm not comfortable with that anymore. Like,
right,
I'm not...
Right.
So... Because religion in some ways has been used to punish us, and that's not the way God is.
Right. And yet, I agree with everything that you're saying, and yet, because, you know, going back to your first point, which is, you know, you're hitting the nail on the head with, you know, the curriculum is so highly individualized that our paths are so individualized that some people do find their, you know, they do have their awakening through an organized religion because
absolutely.
That works for them.
Yeah, so, I'm recognizing that I'm not in the place that I once was. And
for
right now, this path that I'm on is the right one for me.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So.
I think you're so right also with how, you know, you can't teach anybody else how to do it. They have to do it for themselves. And I feel like that's where we can get so tripped up with the course, because we can learn and learn and learn and listen and listen and listen and still not really be turning anything over to the Holy Spirit if we're not turning to the Holy Spirit within us. And of course, teachers have their place and serve a purpose. And the course is, like we just read, Jesus is not calling for martyrs, but for teachers. But that work has to come from within.
Yeah, and I had a really interesting moment because a lady that goes to the group that I was once really, you know, active in, she called me to invite me to an event, and I just explained that how busy I've been with school, and I could have just left it there, but I said to her, like, I've just had a lot of shifts happen in my life, and I just am at a place where I don't feel that I want to come to anything that's organized. And I said, does that make sense to you? And she said, yeah, it sounds like you've, you know, come to a place where you've done a lot of searching and, you know, have come to a place and we're not going to pressure you in any way. And I felt like I was given the opportunity to be honest with where I am.
I know you're going to hear it. We lost you again.
I felt like the Holy Spirit was there, you know, because it could have gone another way, but it was quite peaceful and, you know, so
Very cool.
Very good.
awesome. You know, another thing, as you were talking and before, one of the things that came forward for me as well in terms of, you know, you can't tell somebody else how to do it. The thought came to me again that's perfect and in line with the fact that we have one job, and that's to accept that healing for ourselves. That's to allow the miracles to happen in our own mind, and that's it. You know, what we're called to do beyond that is going to be very individualized, but that's our primary vocation while we're here in this level of form.
Yeah, can I just share one more thing?
Sure.
I don't want to talk too much today, but I noticed myself thinking while this lady was talking to me, like I was listening to her and I was thinking, I really just want this to be peaceful because I don't want it to be like I'm turning away from a part of my life that has been, you know, it served a purpose for me and it was very loving and kind. It's just not where I am right now. And I don't want it to be like I'm making this choice to up and like leave and excommunicate this faith that I've been part of for such a long time. And it was really beautiful that it didn't even touch that. Like, it didn't even go there. Because I feel like no matter what religion or belief system you have, there's always unity in that we all come from the same place. We all are one, you know, energy. And even, you know, people, practicing different faiths and belief systems. It's all
right.
The same.
So
I was really feeling like, you know, I don't want it to come to that because that's not what I'm even talking about.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it was just really, really lovely that it didn't have
yeah.
to go down that road.
That is.
That yeah.
is. Awesome. I love it when that happens, when we're accepting that, you know, something is going to be difficult or challenging, or we don't want things to go a certain way and we think they're going to. And then again, that miracle, that shift by turning to the Holy Spirit and asking for another way, again, accepting that undoing for ourselves, having those miracles flash across our mind. Oftentimes we see that in a situation that shifts.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't turn out the way that we expected.
Yeah.
It would. That's really cool.
And that's truly teaching and learning.
Yeah, yeah. Yes, you're absolutely
simultaneously.
Right. Absolutely, absolutely. That's perfect. As you teach, so you learn.
And it really just gave me permission to be who I am, be myself, and keep going, you know,
mm-hmm.
and just let... In of itself is such a freeing thing that I haven't experienced with anything other than A Course in Miracles. So
yeah, yeah, awesome.
Kind of comes
awesome,
back to
awesome.
No resistance.
I like that. I like that. And if you even find a pebble of resistance, looking at it with the Holy Spirit.
Oh yeah.
That's all we gotta do.
Mhm.
Thank you for allowing Spirit to speak through you, Deidre.
Oh, thank you, everyone.
We actually have just one paragraph left, and how about we finish that up, and then if anybody has anything else to add. Let's see. Okay, so we're at the very last paragraph of this section. You cannot love what you do not appreciate, and fear makes appreciation impossible. Whenever you are afraid of what you are, you do not appreciate it and will therefore reject it. As a result, you will teach rejection. The power of the sons of God is operating all the time because they were created as creators. Their influence on each other is without limit and must be used for their joint salvation. Each one must learn to teach that all forms of rejection are utterly meaningless. The separation is the notion of rejection. As long as you teach this, you still believe it. This is not as God thinks, and you must think as He thinks if you are to know Him again. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful.
We must think as God thinks if we are to know God again. And that's what the Course is here to help us do. That's what the Holy Spirit is here to help us learn, how to think again like God.
I think this line, whenever you are afraid of what you are, you do not appreciate it and therefore reject it. And boy, if that doesn't go back to the two voices,
yeah,
and two choices. Because whenever we're thinking with voice for the ego, that whole identity crisis kicks in.
Right.
Because
right.
we think that is who we are.
Right.
But when we are listening to the voice for God, wow. You
yeah.
know, we're identifying with the truth of who we are.
Mm-hmm.
And it's becoming a little bit more obvious to me throughout the day which voice I'm identifying with.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very, very grateful for that.
Mm-hmm.
But it is that voice for the ego, it is a very subtle, nonsensical. So I hear it easier in the shower in the morning. I seem to be able to separate or just get into that state of consciousness where I'm looking at what's really happening in my head.
Mm.
And I just have to laugh a lot of the times.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like, what? What was that?
Keeping that sense of humor is important.
It sure is.
It's funny that you say that because I found myself sometimes chuckling, like, okay, now you're really getting wild. Like, this stuff is really getting wild. I'm able to see it and kind of chuckle at it. And I think it does make a difference. And I was listening to, I wasn't familiar with him, but I found him on the internet. Adyashanti, he's a teacher anyway. He was saying how he's like, he calls it getting suckered. He said, that's what happens. You get suckered. You know, you start believing the ego's line. He's like, you know, people who are very spiritual like to use these big terms. And, you know, he said, but I like to keep it simple. You get suckered by the ego. You start believing
mm-hmm.
its story. And before you know it, you've been suckered.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you get just sucked right into that drama, and it all feels real, and it all, and then you don't know what you're listening to,
mm-hmm.
and it's just confusion.
Yeah, wow. You all were reminding me, and it's funny how I think my ego doesn't want me to remember this because the whole experience is now like pretty fuzzy in my mind, but I was in the car yesterday driving, and I can remember having just this sort of, how we were just sort of talking about this sense of kind of watching yourself, and I just had this sort of feeling that my true self, our true self, the truth of all of us that we all share, that is becoming more real for me. That's becoming more like I'm identifying with that more. And so my grip on Corinne and wanting, you know, her things to be a certain way or, you know, look a certain way or work out a certain way, that fusion with this identity of Corinne is starting to loosen a bit. And this,
yeah.
that can sound really scary, you know, to a beginning course student. And I think if I had heard that years ago, that would have totally freaked me out. But this is where, when we touch that truth of who we really are, when we start to have these glimpses, you know, that's reinforcing everything that we're studying. And it's such a joyous, peaceful, loving,
yeah.
familiar recognition.
It's such a relief.
It's such a relief that we want more of it. And we're like, yeah, what am I doing wasting my time with this ego? This is just BS. This is garbage. Like, I want more of what I really am. And we're all doing it together. We're helping each other. We're reinforcing the gains that we all make, and we're all benefiting. So that's pretty cool. Ha, ego, I remembered it. I didn't think I could, but it came back. Oh, does anybody else have anything to add before we wrap up? Sounds like we're good. Well, thank you, everyone, for bringing your light and your love and your wisdom to the call tonight. I thank you all for being here, and I'll see you next week.
Thank you.
Thank you.
See you next week, everybody.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.